We haven't yet left Egypt. We're still slaves. And yet, we're already talking about challenges of the future. Typically, people have a revolution, bring something new into the world. They revel in the moment. They rejoice. They celebrate. They cross the challenges or the new bridges when they get to them. Here, we didn't yet leave Egypt. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, by the way, you're going to have children who question. Just want you to know. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be challenges. So let's take a look at Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis, chapter 12. Verse 25. The Torah says, Vahoyo kisavoyu el haaretz. And so it shall come to pass when you arrive in the land. This is the land asher yitin Hashem lachem, that God will give you. Kasha dibur, as he has spoken. Ushmartem es haaveda hazeis. And you will keep, watch, or guard this avoda, this servitude that's been given to you. What's the avoda? What's the service that we're talking about? So we're talking about the Korban Pesach. That's actually what we're involved with at present. That was all the verses up until this point have been about the details of the Paschal offering. And then in verse 23, the Torah says that if you'll do all these things, God will pass over your homes, hence the name Passover. In verse 25, it says, Ushmartem es hadavar hazeh l'chok l'cho ulevanecha ad elam. You'll keep this thing for your future generations, for posterity. And then immediately afterwards, it says, when you come to the land, and you'll come to the land that God has given you, and we emphasize once again, Ushmartem es haaveda hazeh. So Rashi says, why is it that verse 25 begins, Vahoyo kisaveyu el haaretz? Why are we suddenly talking about coming to the land of Israel? We didn't even leave Mitzrayim yet. Says Rashi, Tolo hakosov aveda zu. The Torah kind of pins this aveda bibiyasam laaretz. It says you got to come to the land of Israel, then you can do this aveda. In other words, a Korban Pesach cannot be brought in Egypt. It's true the first Korban Pesach was in Egypt, but the Korban Pesach is not brought in Egypt. Where is the Korban Pesach brought? In Eretz Yisrael. Vahayo kisavayu, you come to the land of Israel. In the land of Israel, you bring a Korban Pesach. So there's a question that right away should come to mind. The first Korban Pesach was brought in Mitzrayim. The second Korban Pesach was brought where? In the Sinai Desert. And you know that story because there was people who were ritually impure, couldn't bring the Korban Pesach. So what did they say? They said, Lama nigara, why are we left behind? And because they said, why are we left behind, what happened? God said, there is a second chance. And this is the notion of Pesach Sheni. So the Korban Pesach, for the second time, was not brought in the land of Israel. And then subsequent, when was the next Korban Pesach brought? The next Korban Pesach was brought in Eretz Yisrael, but that was 40 years later. 40 years later. But the question is, if the Korban Pesach requires the land of Israel, so if so, then how is it possible they brought a Korban Pesach outside of Israel in the second year? Says Rashi, V'lo nischayvu b'midbar ela b'pesach echad. Let's be frank. They only brought one Korban Pesach outside of Israel. Sha'asu b'ashana hashenis. That Korban Pesach was brought in the second year. And you should know that it was al pi hadibur, that it was based on an explicit instruction that God gave the Jewish people, as it says in the book of Numbers, in the beginning of the ninth chapter, Parshas Baal Eischa, that it says over there that God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Sinai Desert, in the second year of their leaving the land of Israel. And then it says, V'yasu v'nei Yisrael, esa posach v'mayadei. So it says God spoke to Moshe, and it says they did the Korban Pesach in its right time. So from this we understood that because God spoke to Moshe, that there was a special command, and because there was a unique and a special command with regard to that Korban Pesach, that was the reason that they brought the second Korban Pesach. But otherwise, as it ruled, the Korban Pesach always has to be brought in the land of Israel. That's how the pasuk begins. You come to the land of Israel, that's why when you'll bring it. Incidentally, our sages tell us that the Korban Pesach that was brought in the second year was really, there's a certain shame and a stigma attached to it, because it was the only Korban Pesach they brought when they were in the Midbar. And that's because they weren't ever supposed to be in the Midbar. They were supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. They left Egypt on Pesach, and they were supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael on Pesach. In fact, they were supposed to be there for Rosh Hashanah. What happened? We built a stupid golden calf, and we stupidly worshipped it. And because of that, we almost weren't anymore. And so it wasn't until 40 days and 40 nights, and 40 days and 40 nights, and then a third 40 days and 40 nights. And then we got a Yom Kippur and a forgiveness and an atonement, and then began the process of building a Mishkan. And so we had one Pesach outside of Israel, and the reason we had one Pesach outside of Israel was because we built a golden calf. And the next Pesach, we were supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael. Instead, what did we do? We made the foolish mistake of saying, we don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. And that was the story of the first Tisha B'Av. So after that, God said, that's it. No more Korban Pesach for you. When you get to the land, that's when you have a Korban Pesach. All right, so now you know that the Korban Pesach is connected to the land of Israel, and the Jewish people have just gotten a notification that they will come to the land, although what they don't know is it's not going to be so fast. You're going to come to land, Kasher Diber. The Pasuk says, as God has spoken. Veheichan, where do we find that God has spoken to the Jewish people and told them about the land of Israel? They haven't even left Mitzrayim after all. Says Rashi, Daber, Veheichan Diber, where did he speak? And the answer is, Veheveisi Eschem El Ha'aretz. There were four languages of redemption in the beginning of Parshas Va'era. And then there was a fifth language, which corresponds, incidentally, to the fifth cup on the Pesach night. And that fifth cup, which corresponds, is called Kesh L'Eliyahu, that corresponds to the idea of Ve'Heveisi, I will bring them into the land of Israel. So God said, I have spoken about this already. And now verse 26. We haven't even left yet. We haven't even experienced the Exodus yet. And God says, I want you to know, you haven't experienced the Exodus yet, but when you will, and you will come to the land of Israel. V'hoyo k'yemro aleichem b'neichem. Your children will say, Ma avayda zeis. What are you doing this for? What is up with this avayda? V'amartem, verse 27, you will tell them, Zevach Pesachu. This is a paschal offering. L'Hashem to God. Asher posach al botei b'nei Yisrael, who leaped or skipped over the homes of the Jewish people, b'mid mitzrayim, b'nogvoy es mitzrayim, when he struck Egypt, v'ez batenu hitzel, our homes were saved, v'yikar da'am, v'yishtachu. The nation kneeled and they bowed before God. What exactly is the meaning of moha avayda hazos? What is this avayda? What is the question? What question will they ask? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them that the question is going to be, why do we bring a Korban Pesach Sedech Hizkuni? And why is the Korban Pesach brought in a manner that it's roasted? We know that the meat has to be roasted, and there's all kinds of halachas that govern exactly how you prepare this meat. So what's the difference? Roasted, boiled, cooked, who cares? Really, what difference does it make how you cook the meat? As long as you get brisket, does it make a difference how you got the brisket? That's what they're going to ask. That's what the Chizkuni says. The Sephorno says, this doesn't make any sense. We left Mitzrayim when? During the day. Be'etzem ayim azeh. And when do we celebrate the Exodus? The night before. But we didn't leave yet. So why are we celebrating if we didn't leave yet? Okay, that's your question. So that's your big question. And the answer is, because on that night, God leaped over our homes. And what's the answer, according to the Chizkuni, what's the answer? Zevach Pesach Ul Hashem, that God passed over our homes, and everything was with haste. As Ramban, Mer Nevuchim, and Abar Ben El says, that the Korban Pesach remind us of haste. People who are on the go, how do they prepare the meat? There's no time to cook. There's no time to make it a slow process. How do they prepare the meat? Quickly. What's the fastest way to prepare meat? Roast it, throw it on the barbecue. So this is the idea of the chipazon, the haste, or according to Sephorno, why do we do it on the night before, not the day before? And the answer, once again, is because God passed over our homes, and our homes, we were left, so to speak, in safety and security. And that's why we are celebrating here. All right, so it's like, this is all about the Aveda. The Aveda is about the Korban Pesach. We're going to do this Aveda. We're going to continue to practice this in the future. It's not just a one-time Korban Pesach thing, and then we're going to come to the land of Israel. And our children are going to ask, why are we bringing this offering? Or why are we bringing the offering in this manner? Why do we bring it now? Why do we bring it a different time? This is what the simple pshat seems like. And the response of the Jewish people when hearing this news that they will have children who are going to ask the questions, why do you bring a Korban Pesach this way? Vayikidom. They kneeled. What were they kneeling about? What are they bowing about? So Rashi says, Al Basudus Hagula. They just heard, as a matter of fact, Moshe Rabbeinu talking about the redemption, which hasn't yet happened, as if it's past tense. You will come. And they will ask, why did we go out then? And why do we observe the Exodus in this fashion? So they just found out with absolute certainty they're leaving. They also found out they're going to come to the land of Israel because the Pasuk says, So Moshe Rabbeinu is already speaking. Well, he's already telling them what's going to happen after you arrive in the land of Israel. So now they know they're coming to the land of Israel. They also know they're going to have children. They know there's going to be a next generation of Jews. How do they know? Because it says, your children, so these verses speak to them about the Exodus. There's going to be an Exodus. Without absolute certainty, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about it in past tense. There's going to be an arrival to the land of Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking about it in past tense. And finally, there's going to be children because they're going to be questioning. So the chain, besudas habanim, shayiulahem. So this sounds very interesting. We're talking about the Korban Pesach. It's a discussion all about the Korban Pesach, right? Not mamash. Let's take a look in the Biurim, and here we begin with a quote from the Haggadah Shel Pesach, page Reish Chav Gimel, Simin Lamed Zayin of Parshas Bo'i. It's a mitzvah to tell the story on the night of Pesach. V'igadta Levincha, you tell that story. And how should you tell the story? You should tell it in an engaging fashion. Ideally, how do you engage the party who is going to be hearing the story? How should it become their business? When they ask. So that's called dynamic. It's not a monologue. They ask and you respond. It's a conversation. This is kind of basic educational principle of the 21st century. But the amazing thing is we're hearing about this 3,000 years ago, 3,300 years ago to be exact. Only 200 years ago, the birch, the strap, and the bark were indispensable, however that expression goes. Children should be seen, not heard. And that's the way you sit there and you learn, where we get your knuckles wrapped. And Taylor's talking about, no, that's not education. Education is you engage your children, do strange things, provoke questions, make them ask. Once you make them ask, then you could respond. It's a give and take. And this give and take is a very important process of the passing on of the tradition of engaging and teaching and inspiring the next generation. And we hear there's different kinds of children. There's going to be children who are inquisitive. That's the Ben HaChacham, the wise child. There's going to be a child who's not so wise, doesn't really know what to ask. He's called the Tam. He's kind of clueless. There's a child who not only doesn't ask wise questions, he doesn't even know how to open his mouth, doesn't ask altogether. The She'eni De'elishol. And which child did I skip over? Who have I not mentioned? The Chacham, the Tam, the She'eni De'elishol. Who didn't I mention? The Timid? It's no Timid, son. The Wicked. The Wicked Son. The Ben Arasha. Oh, he asks questions. But his questions are not because he wants to learn. His questions are because he wants to needle you. He has agnostic questions. And all of this is learned from the verses of the Torah. You analyze the verses, you can see that sometimes the children are asking wise questions. Sometimes the children are asking simple questions. Sometimes the children are not asking any questions. And the scripture says, talk to him, engage him. And sometimes the children are saying, what are you doing? Who needs this whole business? And my dear friends, this pasuk we just learned, Exodus 12:26, is the source for the Ben Hadasha. It's not just Mo'avod Hazayis in a broader sense. This is not just a discussion of the Korban Pesach, but broadly speaking, this represents the idea of the child who asks questions, not because he wants answers, but to make a point. This is the child who is needling you. And as I mentioned at the outset of today's class, we haven't yet left Mitzrayim, and already we're hearing about there's going to be questions, and there's going to be challenges. So let's take a look on top of that page. Here, the Rebbe gives us a quote from the Haggadah. Rasha, the wicked child, Mahu Eimer, what does he say? And the answer is, you know what he says? Moha Veda Azeis Lochem. What are you doing? What is this? Lochem. The most revealing word in that statement is Lochem. What's Lochem? You people. What are you people doing? What are you people doing? Says the Haggadah, Lochem, for you. Veloiloi. It's not for me, he says. I'm not part of this. I'm watching. I came to the zoo to see how the heathens live, but I'm just watching you guys do this. This is a curio for me. I'm not part of this. So, love, lochem veloiloi, says the Haggadah, v'af ata hakes shinov, you blunt his teeth. He comes to you with a ferocious bark like that. V'amerloi, and you're going to take the wind out of his sails. You're going to pop his big balloon, his big delusion. And you're going to say, indeed, indeed, my child, it is lanu, it's for us, not for lacha. You're right. Ba'avorzeh asa Hashem li. This is why God did this for me. For me, for me, the parents who are sitting around with their sibling, with their siblings and celebrating the Seder. B'tzeisim b'tzayim li v'loy loy. That's how we take the sail, the wind out of his sails. He said, for us, not for you. Ilo hayasham, had you been there, lehoya nigo, you would not have been redeemed. So you asked the question, what are you people doing? Say, ah, you people. You're right, you people. Had you been in Mitzrayim, you wouldn't have made it out. Now, of course, the Rebbe tells us that that was then, today is different. Today everybody will make it out and every Jew will come home. But that's how it was. That's how it was. And in this way, when the child hears that, you acknowledge his words. Lachem v'leiloi, right. Yeah, yeah, you're not part of this. You're right. You're not going to be part of this. So that hopefully shakes him up a little. That blunts his teeth. It takes away the sharpness, the ferocious nature of his question. And we hope we'll be able to shatter his enamel of indifference and try to get through to him. So the Rebbe offers us a phenomenal analysis of what is the question of the Ben Harasha. What really is going on here? Listen to this. Yesh lefarish es diuk haloshen. We could further explain and elucidate the precise language that's used, the question of the wicked child. He says, he doesn't just say mazois. The Tam says mazois. He said, what is this? He doesn't say mazois. What does he say? Moha avoida. What does avoida mean? What's the service? What's the roots or word root of the word avoda? What's the root? Eved. What's an eved? Slave. Slave. Because they slave away. It's not something you do with fervor or passion, excitement or exuberance. It's something you do because you have to do it. Slaving away generally does not bring imagery of fun, of joy, of happiness. It has this very heavy kind of tone to it. And that, he sees it as a burden. He says, but it's even worse than that. Avoida, says the Rebbe, Pirusha, Asiyas, Dvarim, Techtsiyas, Vekabalasil. Avoida means you do it because you have to do it. You obey. It's indicative of obedience. Miblili his das im teichnam. He says, I don't understand what I'm doing. I don't identify with this. This is not me. I'm a postmodern mumbo jumbo Jew. I don't really do with this stuff. I don't really identify with this. Now we say it's avoda. He's yeah, avoda. I know. You don't identify with it either. You do this out of obedience. Like a servant who serves his master. So what does the Rasha say to you? And tell me that this is not compelling. Tell me this is not current. The Rasha says, Eini misnaged le'etzem tziyun chag ha'Pesach. The Rasha says, I don't have a problem with Jewish culture. I don't mind observing milestones. I don't mind history. I love history. It's very nice. I don't even mind you tell me there's like a different things we do, fine. That's what tradition, tradition, you know, tradition, tradition. No problem, he says. But his taina is connected. Kiyom mitzvahs elo b'derech aveda. He says, stop doing mitzvahs because you have to. Don't tell me obedience stories. You want to tell me we can enjoy this, we can identify with it, we can add our own nuance, our own detail, provide our own depth, add our own colors, then it's our thing. I can live with that. But don't tell me, this is what we do. And they say, why do we do that? They say, that's obedience, Kabbalah Sel. That's what God said, so we have to do it. The Rasha can't stand that. The Rasha says, I'm not just listening because you said I have to listen. I'll do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. Chag HaPesach, kach tein HaRosh, what the Rosh says, Pesach? Passover? Of course, I'm into Passover. He said, what is Passover? What's the theme of Passover? Freedom! Freedom, baby, I want to be free, he says. What are you telling me stories about Avodah? Are you telling me stories about obedience? I don't want to be obedient. I don't want to be a slave. I want to be free. Liberté, he says. This is about me being as I want to be. And he says, because of that, because Pesach marks Yitzia Me'avdos L'Cheiros, because Pesach commemorates the exodus, the leaving from slavery into freedom. V'yesh le'mashmos rak shehu nochig mitzad rosh and chavshi. He says, then if there's got to be a freedom, then I have to have the freedom to express myself as I please. And I have to have the freedom to celebrate Passover as I please. Don't tell me how to celebrate Passover. I know how to celebrate Passover. I'll celebrate my own freedom. I want to do it mitech simcha. I want to do it with joy. I want to do it with chayas. I want to do it with vitality and exuberance. I want to do it mitech hizdaos maleim tech. I want to identify. I want to self-identify with Passover. I want to find myself in Passover. Ach eze yesh. That I get, he says. I get that, he says. I can dig that. But is erech yesh l'kiyom mitzvahs ha-pesach? What value, what virtue is there to fulfill Passover observances, which are b'derech shel avodah, which you do as if you're carrying a heavy burden. You just accept it upon yourself. You have this obedience about you. Well, God says, so we're just going to bow our heads in submission. He says, b'shasha kol techne shel chag, the whole content of this festival, it's all about? It's about freedom. He says, it's about freedom, let me be free. It doesn't make any sense. The whole idea of Pesach is me'avdus l'cheder, is going into freedom. Let me celebrate my freedom. There was an article written about 20 years ago attacking the Passover industry. And this shopper, Jewish shopper in Los Angeles, talks about going to the store, and this I could buy and this I can't buy. And the thrust of the article is, if it's Passover, I'll buy what I want, when I want. I think the article was something like my leavened Passover. How she decided she would celebrate Passover with bread. Because that's what I like, she said. Isn't Passover about freedom? It's freedom. I'll celebrate Passover. If it's my freedom, don't tell me how to celebrate my freedom. That was the entire thrust of the article. It's exactly what the Rebbe is talking about. This is the Ben Arush, the wicked child. It sounds very innocuous. It sounds very open-minded. It sounds very broad, all-encompassing, embracing, multicultural. You fill in the gaps. All the words. It's very modern. Enjoy life. Do it as I please. Isn't that what Pesach is, Rabbi? Come on, Mom. This is what Pesach is. That's what Passover is. Stop telling me what to do. Stop telling me there's an avodah, there's an obedience. Stop telling me I'm God's servant. I don't do that. This is exactly the tain of the Ben Arusha. The Rebbe zeroes in not only on the word lachem, which is the obvious thing. That's what the Haggadah emphasizes. The Rebbe says it's even more. It's not just what's lachem. He says, I can identify with Passover. I can identify with Yiddishkeit as long as it's cultural. I can dig bagels and lox. He says, I can sing Fiddler on the Roof if you want. It's tradition, fine. But when it's an avodah, when it's obedience, when it's Kabbalah soil, when you have to do it because God said to do it, that's for you, he says, that's not for me. That's lachem. Eze erech, he says, what value does it have? Shatim chegim chag ha-pesach, that you're celebrating Pesach. If you do it in the way of, because God said so. I don't want to do it like that. U'mesayimim chazal, our sages tell us, ve'yizmir, lochem. Lochem, he says, it's for you, v'loy loy. He says it's not for him. Afshu mekayim es chag ha-pesach, even though he has some kind of Passover celebration. He has a Passover. Do you know that most Jews have a Passover event? Do you know that Passover is the most widely observed custom? In Israel, there's some kind of number of over 92% said it's some kind of Passover event. But Nebuch, sadly, many of these Passover events have nothing to do with Passover. They have nothing to do with Avodah. They have nothing to do with Kabbalah. They have nothing to do with acceptance. They have nothing to do with obedience. They have nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's not even at the right time.
It's not at the right time. It's not at the right thing. It's your own mumbo jumbo. It's not listening to Hashem. But the whole purpose of going out of Mitzrayim was never for freedom. What was the purpose? Serving Hashem. Right at the burning bush, when Moshe Rabbeinu receives his marching orders, and he says to God, how's this going to happen? By virtue of what are these people deserving of freedom? And God says to him, it's not about freedom. He says, when you'll take the nation out of Egypt, they will serve God. Moshe Rabbeinu never says, let my people go free. What does he say? He says, send them forth so that they might serve me. It's not about freedom. This is not the French Revolution a few hundred years earlier or a few thousand years earlier.
So the answer, how does that apply to them? What are we really telling them?
What are we telling them? So this is, what we're telling them is, it's a very good question. So what's the answer? We know what the question is now. We know what they're saying. What are we responding? V'hatshuva l'tainosei, the answer is, my dear child, ilo ha'yasham l'hayin igal. Had you been there, you wouldn't have merited redemption. What is the message? If your point would be valid, if your complaint, if you will, had rectitude to it, and you have a good complaint, I want to celebrate Passover. Don't tell me how to celebrate it then. If that would be the case, if mashma'usa shel yitzias Mitzrayim, if the intimation, if the idea, if the ideal, if the entire celebration of going out of Egypt, of Exodus, was just about freedom. Freedom. Not freedom to serve God. Not freedom of religion. Freedom. That's all. Just about freedom. As so many people tragically, mistakenly think. If that was the case, if it was only about kiyum mitzvahs, miteich ratzon chufshi, if it was only about doing mitzvahs out of my free choice, and it had to be something I identify with, if that was what it was all about, never would have been a redemption. The Exodus you wish to commemorate never would have happened. In fact, it never did happen. The only way to free yourself of servitude to the Pharaoh is ayde kabbalas oil ha'avdus hakadosh baruch hu. That comes out of, it comes out of servitude. The only way to free yourself of servitude is to have servitude. And that's the servitude to the Almighty. K'divrei HaKosuv, like the words of the Torah in Parshas Bahar, Avodayim. We are God's servants. Avodayim, says God. Asher etzeis yisem eretz Mitzrayim, that I have taken out of the land of Egypt. So when does a person free? When a person has the ability to restrain and release themselves from the things that inhibit them. Talk to the person who's grossly overweight, who cannot control themselves, who keeps running to the fridge, who eats constantly. They're free. Eat whatever you want. Ask them how free they feel. They feel the chain to the fridge. Talk to the addict who cannot function unless he has himself a beer, unless he knocks down a couple of wines. Just can't function. He says, I'm free. I can drink any wine I want. He says, that's free. I'm a slave. I'm enslaved to the bottle. A person who has any other unhealthy behavior that he or she is enslaved to, that's not freedom. But that's freedom. You can do as you please. The only way to free yourself from that is to connect to something higher. And that's why in the 12-step program, which people use to free themselves from the slavery of addiction, what do they talk about? A higher power. So when a person lives with an ideal, there's a value, there's a virtue to life in and of itself. There's something worth living for. And that thing you live for indeed requires obedience and restraint, and it requires dedication and loyalty and avdos and servitude. That's what this is really about. So what's the answer to him? The answer is, the Exodus you want to celebrate never happened. It never would have happened. That's not what Pesach's about. This is not the French Revolution. This is not the American Revolution. This is not the Magna Carta. This is the Jewish people's, so to speak, freedom. And Jewish freedom is al tikra chorus ela cheros. Don't call it cheros, pardon me. Don't call it freedom. Call it engraved. It's automatically a euphemism, a reference to Matan Torah, that we are the servants, that we are the avodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the parsha interpreted through the prism of Passover and the Haggadah in the most modern, compelling, and relevant of ways.
Surprising the rabbi didn't say it was the Lord.